It's Wednesday, October the 9th, and you're tuned in to the Chanterbury Podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world, and we got a jam-packed session for you today.
Oh yeah, baby.
Yeah, we do. But as always, actually, hold on. We got a movie to talk about.
Do we want to do that first or last? It depends on if we want to talk about spoilers.
I don't think we can talk about spoilers in this movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? Like, it's... I think it's a given. Like, I mean, this is one of the movies you got.
Like, we can talk about, like, the thing is like, we can talk about the generalities.
Yeah.
And not give away specific portions. Okay. No, we can talk about it.
Yeah. Anyways, we're talking about the Joker.
Yeah.
The Joker. Should we just talk about the Joker? Do you want to do the question? What do you want to do?
I don't know. What's the normal order?
I can't remember.
Let's spice it up. Let's do the review.
Oh, the Joker.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix stars as...
Heath Ledger as the Joker.
As Heath Ledger. Yes. As who was the other one? I want to say it's not De Niro.
Who?
The
other Joker?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't remember.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like the De Niro era, but like.
Who was it?
Fuck. I don't know. My phone's upstairs. I don't know. Anyway,
I can look it up while you're chatting.
The whole point is this is a Joker origin story, as in Joker from the Batman. However, it is not loosely based on whatever the official comic one is. Like, this is definitely its own thing. It's not really connected. It's not for sure if it's connected to any of the DC films, I don't believe.
No, I think it's its own separate thing, but it still takes place within the DC universe.
Does it? Yes. Okay.
Well, considering some things that happen in that movie.
Yes.
Right? It's still pretty canonical with the lore of DC and Batman and the Joker.
But, like, is it connected to, like, the Suicide Squad Joker?
Oh, I no. Not even close. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because that was edgy Jared Leto.
I'm just saying, like, this is maybe years later.
Mark Hamill played the Joker.
He did. He's probably the most famous Joker. Yeah. Because he's from the animated series.
Jack Nicholson played
Jack Nicholson. That was the original one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jack Nicholson played the Joker.
Okay. Fair enough. So this is about this is basically about the destruction of a man
at the hands of a society.
Yes, and how he becomes the villain.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally the movie.
So, I kind of want to talk about some stuff from outside the movie first.
Okay.
Where, going into this movie, and even before it was released, all I ever saw on the news was stuff about shootings, right? Like, it's just like, people are putting up extra police around the Joker movie, just in case there's another shooting. Because there was that one big shooting when The Dark Knight came out.
Oh, yes, right? yes.
And I think even then, like, the shooter admitted, like, it wasn't because it was of the Joker. It was just because it was a big movie.
Yeah.
Right? And so everything I ever saw about the movie, about people writing articles about it and stuff like that, I'm just like, I'm expecting this movie to be some fucking gore fest.
Yeah.
To just be this celebration of violence a la Quentin Tarantino,
mm-hmm.
but, like, shed in a positive light because it's the story of a psychopath.
Yeah.
And it's completely the opposite.
Yes.
This movie is, like, honestly, it's about, like, mental health issues and government funding of public, like, needs.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, it's really, like, if you really look at it, it's like, this is about government funding of social programs. This is what this whole thing is about.
Yeah. About how the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Like, it's really a class struggle and a mental health movie.
Yeah.
And like, it's nothing close to anything these people have been talking about.
And how people at the bottom get left behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild to me.
Yeah.
That's like such a disconnect.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think the most recent one for me is that whole Dave Chappelle stand-up.
Oh, where Sticks and Stones?
I read a bunch of the critical reviews, and I was like, okay, well, I understand why these people would be upset and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And comedy is very
subjective. Yes.
This
movie tells you.
Like this movie tells you.
Yeah.
Straight to your face.
Yes.
But when you see like the user reviews,
and
it's just like, oh, critics gave like panned the shit out of it, but critics gave it like 99% or some shit.
Yeah.
It's just like, man. This is wild. Like, I wonder if people are just making these articles for strictly for clickbait now.
Mm.
Like, I'm kind of wondering if that's what these authors actually think of these movies.
Mm.
It's weird.
I don't know.
It's weird. That was just, like, an outside thing I just wanted to get off my chest. Like, yeah. I'm just kind of confused,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, The Joker.
The Joker.
Like I said, is about government funding of social programs.
Mm-hmm.
And if that sounds boring... It's not.
No. Well, let's be... Yes, that is, like the overarching theme of that. That is the theme of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's told through the eyes of a man with definitely some mental illness.
Oh, yeah. Many a mental illness.
He has all the mental illnesses. Yes.
Let's, yes, you name it, he's got it.
He's got them all. And if that weren't enough, his mom has it worse.
And then she subjected... Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's basically like the perfect setup for a villain.
Yeah. So Joaquin Phoenix plays Arthur Fleck.
Arthur Fleck, yes.
Right. Who lives, he's presumably like mid to late 30s.
Yeah.
Lives at home with his mother, who's kind of ill.
Yes.
Who's consistently writing letters to Bruce Wayne.
Thomas Wayne.
Thomas Wayne, the father. And he's, at the same time, he's a clown just trying to make ends meet to support his family.
Uh-huh.
It's hinted that he used to be in Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And he escaped on, not escaped, but he was let go on good behavior and like seeing a therapist and stuff like that. And the whole movie is this slow deterioration of a man who drew an unfortunate lot in life.
Yep.
And just how fucked he can get.
Yes. Yes.
Like, would you agree with that, like, general
That's story? The movie. Yeah. That's the movie.
Like, that's the movie.
And it, like, just when you think, fuck, this is depressing, it just gets more depressing.
It's just depressing. It's like, don't, if you're sad, don't see this movie.
Like, it's really sad. Like, if I had to describe this movie, it'd be like, oh, that Joker movie. Oof.
Yeah, if I had to Gen Z that shit, I'll be like, yo, I have to pay respects for that shit, bro. Like, that was rough.
Yeah. Like, wow.
Yo, big mood.
Like, yeah, holy shit. Fuck. Like, man.
Do you want to talk about Heath Ledger's performance in this? Because I think that's the big thing a lot of people are going in
for. I don't know. Heath Ledger's dead.
Not Heath Ledger. Joaquin Phoenix's performance. I keep thinking about Heath Ledger when I think of the Joker still.
Yeah. No, so Joaquin does an amazing performance as Arthur Fleck.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he does. It's everything. Just his body language. He's nailed this, like, laugh.
Yeah.
And he mixes. But he puts. The laugh is so perfect because, like, like the auditory laugh, like, just everything about it is perfect, but he only ever uses it in a disconnected emotion.
Yeah.
So, like, he'll only use it when he's sad or nervous.
Yeah. There's that scene in the comedy club.
Oh, God.
Where there's a comedian, like, doing his routine and doing whatever, and he's writing down notes.
Yeah.
And the laugh only comes on sections that people aren't laughing at.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man, no.
Yeah.
This guy's, like, so disconnected from society and, like, what... like what a social norm is and stuff like that, right? And like as you go through it, you're like you kind of can sympathize. I think the creepiest thing to me about the laugh is the fact that he somehow made a laugh that's also sad.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's a couple instances like in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, I get it.
In the very opening scene where he's, like, he's laughing, but he's got the tear rolling down.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just, like, the visual disconnect between someone laughing and then crying.
Yeah.
But, like, the way he laughs, it's like he wants to cry. Like, as pretentious as that fucking sounds, like, he somehow manages to do that.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. It is. But, no, I mean, but that's just a laugh. Like... I think I know he had to lose weight for the role, and he looks disgusting.
He looks mal-fucking nerd. Like, when he's doing the dancing, and he's, like, showing off his ribs, like, oh!
He looks so disgusting. His performance is really good. Like, his performance is definitely the highlight of the film.
And it's, it, sh- like, I'm so glad it is, because this movie is 90% him solo.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's just him, with his thoughts and dealing with who he is. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes everyone else look like a bad actor, to be honest.
Yeah, because they have, like, a couple side characters. Like, there's a lady in his building. And you're like, oh, she's just whatever now.
She's there. There's, like, a couple people at work.
Yeah.
And they're, like...
They're okay. There's, like, these two cops that show up, and you're like, they're just fucking, like... called like phony cops.
Yeah.
And so even like when you meet the Waynes, you're just like, like Thomas Wayne specifically, just like, this is just a ham-fisted actor.
Yeah. This is like, I don't know, like there's a disconnect between actors, I guess.
Yeah, like this is definitely Joaquin Phoenix's movie. Yeah. And everyone else just kind of exists around
him. They're just hanging out. Yeah. They're along for the ride.
Yeah, they're like, look, don't get in his way. He's the actor. You're all just extras.
This is like one of those movies where like I look at an actor and I'm like, I could never do that. Like, to be that good. Like, I could play pretend, right? I could be the ham-fisted whatever.
Yeah.
But I could never do that.
Yeah.
Like, just to be so in tune with your emotion.
Yeah.
In order to, like, deliver that kind of performance. Yeah. You're just like, what the
actual... It's pretty cool.
It's fucking wild. Cool. That's, like, that's some top class acting.
Yeah. And, it's good. It's good. He's a good actor. I'm into it.
Oh.
I just don't know, like, how... I don't know how I feel about the movie. It's just, like...
I think I suffer a little bit from the same problem I had with Your Name.
Uh-huh.
Where my complaint with Your Name is I felt that everything in the movie was aimed to make you cry.
Yeah.
Right? It was just like, oh, we're just going to put you in these impossible fucking situations in order to make you cry. Because it's the whole point of this movie. We're not trying to tell a crazy deep narrative. We're just going to... Here's just a bunch of separated scenarios that are all sad.
Mm.
And when you see them one after another, you feel sad.
Yeah.
This is kind of like that, where you go like, here's one scenario after another about how this guy's life is just totally fucked.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you're supposed to feel bad.
Oh, yeah.
And then conflicted about if he's justified in doing what he does.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the movie... like script wise to me is very one note.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely, it is very one note in that sense, and I don't know if I want it to be deeper than that, because at the end of the day, we're watching, like, going in it, you're like, oh, it's the Joker.
Yeah,
right? It's like, I don't know, I wasn't expecting anything to be deeper. Like,
there's only one way this character can go.
Yeah.
Right? Is just absolute bonkers.
Yeah, and like every depiction every fictionalized version of her, the Joker, is like, he's not a complex dude. He's just fucked because he's fucked.
Yeah, he's
like, that's it.
Yeah, he wants to create chaos.
Yeah.
Like, that's his, like, whole
scenario. And so like, and knowing that, I didn't expect the movie to go any deeper than just what it shows you.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, no, it was definitely entertaining. Like, I just don't know if I think it was a great film or just a good one.
I think it's hard to say if it's a great film because Joaquin Phoenix's performance is so good.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, how, like, this, he carried that movie 100%.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. But, like, how much leeway can you give an actor for making a movie good? Right? Like, if like I said, I felt that the script is very just like, all right, get fucked once, get fucked twice, get fucked three times. And it's like, haha, get fucked the whole movie.
Yeah.
Right? How can I look past that? Like, or should I look past that? And just be like, this guy's performance is so good that it deserves some sort of best picture shit.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
Because it's not like the script is bad.
No.
Right? But it's just, it's good. It's only good in comparison to the great performance.
Yes.
Right? And you're just like, there's a disconnect here. It's like the side actor.
Yeah.
It's like, there's this disconnect here.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's worth looking at.
Oh, it's definitely, I think it's definitely worth seeing in theater. Yeah. Like it'll bring up interesting discussion.
Yeah.
Like if we were able to talk full spoilers about it, I'm sure we could get into some like deep narrative about societal structures and
for sure
shit like that.
Yeah.
But just coming at it from a spoiler free view, like it's definitely something worth watching.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty fucked.
Like, you know how we have that one category that's just, like, best of the year?
Yeah.
Like, if we can just, like, take Joaquin Phoenix out of
just
there.
The performance? Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix's performance in The Joker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's some wild-ass shit. Like, The Joker is a character that you can easily make a fucking cornball.
Yeah.
Right? And he doesn't make it a cornball.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I have to answer the big question. Is this the best Joker?
It's difficult to say because he's not the Joker for the majority of the movie.
Right. Okay. Right? But when he becomes the Joker, you can evaluate that. We'll just say when he has the full costume on, he's the Joker.
Yeah, when he has that full costume on,
he's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's a lot less corny than the... Like, I think the one issue I had with the Heath Ledger version of the Joker is how he's always, like, licking his lips. Like,
oh, see, that's the part I loved.
Let me show you how I got these scars.
That was the thing that made it for me when he starts licking his lips. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's just comical.
Yeah. Right? And, like, that's peak Joker.
Yeah.
That's difficult. That's a difficult one.
I see a magic trick.
I see a... Just the fucking pencil scene.
Yeah.
So good.
Let's put a smile on that face.
Kill you? I don't want to kill you. I'm like a dog chasing cars.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't know what I want, what to do if I caught one.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of fucking great lines like that. I would say to getting into the personality of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best performance.
Okay.
Come back to me in a couple weeks when, because like we just watched this, right?
That's so true. I'm gonna watch. I got to ask you this next.
Yeah, year. Like ask me this like around awards time.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. So watch The Joker.
It's fucking good, man.
Oof. So something.
Big mood, dog.
Yeah, man.
Our official review of The Joker. Big mood, man. Big
Dude,
mood,
man. F in the chat.
Yeah, F in the chat, boys.
All right. Switching gears to a question to chew on. Paul Chew writes in. This may spoil something from Vince's week.
Oh, no.
So you might want to read this after.
No, we good.
No, we good. We here. Inspired by one of Vince's tweets this week. Okay. If you had to massively streamline your display... I guess your collection of whatever
it is.
What types of items would make the cut? Would you keep the most impressive pieces, or would you go for the most nostalgic pieces that mean the most to you?
Ooh. So I guess for me it'd be games. I think I would definitely keep only the games that I think have... Like, that I think are impressive in certain ways.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not necessarily to say that the entire game is good, but to be like, oh, I would keep, like, Clash at Demon Head on the NES, because that's, like, one of the very first instances of open world games in video games.
So you keep, like, this the historical
side? Or, like, stuff that's very exceptional in what it does. Like, I'd keep the Ninja Gaiden games on the Xbox or the PS3, because, like, those are... in my opinion, like peak character action, like stuff like that. I think I would only keep the ones that I think excel at what they're trying to do. And then obviously a couple ones where I'm just like, I love this game. Right. And I would definitely get rid of all the things that I think are just, oh, this had a cool idea. Right. Cause there are a lot of games I like where I'm just like, oh, this idea was cool. If only like,
that's your MO.
Yeah, yo, Killswitch.
Oh no,
Killswitch was cool.
Was it
cover based shooting, man? How big is it now? Like Gears of War perfected that shit.
Yes,
but,
it did.
But Killswitch was the first.
I'm all about that execution life.
But Killswitch was the first.
Yes, but Gears was the best.
So yeah, that would definitely be the thing. Like the things like the Killswitches, I would get rid of.
Okay. Right.
I would streamline it that way to be like, if I pull at a game, or if someone pulls at a game and they're like, why do you have this? Mm-hmm. I can explain why I think it's cool mm-hmm. or important in video games mm-hmm. or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. For the audience who don't follow me on Twitter, I guess I should say that what the tweet was.
Oh, okay.
And that was that my goal by the end of this year is to get my toy collection down to like one Detolf shelf. And a Detolf shelf is like four shelves in glass.
Is it the square ones or yeah. the rectangle ones?
Yeah, yeah. And by that, I mean, like, I don't want to just see how much stuff I can shove in there.
You want to make displays.
Yeah. And so, like, at the minimum, it would be four items. Mm-hmm. Some of them probably will be paired up with, like, one or two or three. But the idea is to keep it restricted to one display case.
So I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Does this mean that when you get, say you keep it down to one shelf,
mm-hmm.
is that now like if I buy a new toy, I got to find something to get rid of from the shelf?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm just thinking about it like.
Do Gundams count as toys?
No. Well, yeah, but I think like with Gundams, I think I might just bin them all. Like just toss them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I might just go.
Even your perfect grades?
It depends. I don't know. Well, I haven't really thought about it, but yeah,
I could see like you just like binning high grades.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
No issue there.
Yeah,
but like wheel grades are nice.
Yeah,
RX 78 we got from Japan is really nice.
Yeah, I could just toss it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
I could
just toss it. Yeah. So for me, I would only keep. How I would streamline mine is I'd pick the items that I feel are the best reflection of myself.
Okay, not necessarily like
they don't have to
toy
be the
way structure.
Yeah, they don't have to be the best. They don't have to be the largest or the most impressive, the most expensive. They're just the ones that I feel like represent me, or like things that I feel like, not even sentimental or nostalgic, just like. Again, just a reflection of my personality. Like, because I want my display to represent me. Like, okay. I want when people see it, they're like, oh, he picked this. That must mean that he's like something like that. Mm-hmm. Right? But yeah, I think that's how I would do it.
I think it'd be difficult. Because, like, I'm looking at the wall right now.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of stuff.
There's definitely a lot of shitty pop vinyls.
There's one pop vinyl. No, there's two.
There's definitely a lot of shitty pop.
There is two, and they're both D.Va.
And there's a lot of shitty Nendoroids I'm looking at to where I'm like, you would keep that, and I'm disappointed.
Mm. Mm.
And I'm looking at other things where I'm like, you would get rid of that, and I'm like, I want to buy that.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay, yeah, probably. Yeah, sure, sure.
Right?
I don't know if I, to be honest, I don't know if I'd keep any of the Overwatch stuff.
Interesting.
I would just keep the D.Va stuff, but like I wouldn't display it.
Like, oh, that's your dirty secret.
Yeah,
complete like, in box under the bed.
Like I would only display my D.Va statue, like the big, oh, big one.
I still haven't seen that.
I'll show you it still one day. Yeah, it's a heavy motherfucker.
It's a big boy.
Yeah, I gotta clean up and then I gotta bring it downstairs. But yeah, you'll see it. It's definitely a centerpiece. Like it is definitely like, wow. You spend money on that.
Dang, that's a coffee table.
Door. Yeah, like you put it on there and be like, this guy's a fucking lunatic.
How much you pay for this? Too much? Don't worry about it.
It was on sale.
Don't worry about it.
Not really. Yeah.
It's 20 bucks off.
20 bucks off of 1,000 is only, you know.
But it was on sale.
Yeah, so I didn't pay full MSRP. I got a deal. Yeah, that's how I would do it, Paul. Thanks for the question. That's how I would do.
That's a tough one. Because I think that's something, like, I'll have to do in the future. Like, as my collection grows and grows.
I am thinking definitely, like, you know, because I'm pretty dead set, like, I gotta move closer to my work. Like, I'm pretty dead set on that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I gotta start making preparations now. Because when that time comes, I'm not gonna have the energy or time to really go at it.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a get started now.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paul. Okay. Picks. I don't got anything.
What are you talking about? I thought you had something.
No, I didn't.
Didn't you?
Nope.
Where'd my phone go?
I don't know. Behind you.
Where?
Persona Box.
Oh, why did I put it there?
I don't know.
I got a bunch.
Oh, no.
So, first off, Birds of Prey trailer.
Yeah.
We saw it in the theater.
We did.
I don't know. It just looks cool.
Harley Quinn.
I want to see Harley Quinn free from the Joker, showing her getting her hyenas.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, yeah. It kind of makes a more interesting character than she was in Suicide Squad. Because her and Suicide Squad fucking sucked. Well, everything about Suicide Squad fucking sucked.
Yeah, well, she was eye candy in that movie.
She was strictly eye candy in that movie.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool. It like the way they have the dialogue and stuff. It seems like she's more Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Right. She's more to be her own character.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm down with that. It looks cool. That's all I wanted to say.
We shall see. Definitely looks like a cool movie.
PS5 got announced.
It sure did.
Holiday 2020.
Start saving those pennies, kids.
Yeah. I'm probably gonna do what I did with the PS4. Which is wait a lot.
I'm going to buy it day one.
I'm going to wait for that limited edition.
Guys, I'm there day one.
Damn, good for you.
Day one.
I'm going to wait for that limited edition console.
Day uno.
And I'm going to do that.
I'm going to do day one, and then I'm going to call Anthony and be like, you want it, but I'm not going to let you play it.
This bitch. How dare you. So that happened, and that's it. It got announced.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Doom Eternal got delayed until March. I'm sad about that.
Okay.
Persona 3 and 4 protagonists will appear in Persona 5 The Royal.
The Royale.
So, this was a longer trailer that came out of Japan. It's all in Japanese. I don't think anybody's translated it yet. But from what I can gather from the trailer, there's a couple things. One, you'll be able to go into the Velvet Room to do, like, bonus battles. Kind of like when you fight Elizabeth or any of the attendants in the Persona games.
That was after you completed all the requests, right?
Yeah. And that was like some endgame shit. That was some Uber boss shit. Like strictly playthrough 2 type stuff.
Yeah. That was New Game Plus only. Yeah.
So that kind of stuff is cool to see. But one of the interesting things is that you'll be able to face off against the protagonists of Persona 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm. How do you beat the Persona 3 protagonist?
The guy who overcame death?
Yes. He can use any weapon.
I don't know.
Like, you can't beat him.
I don't know.
Like, he is a god. Like, you can't beat him.
Isn't his persona, like, surrounded in coffins?
Yeah, like, he's a god.
He is a god. He transcends.
Yeah. 4 is just still a high school kid. 5 is still a high school kid.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you beat 3. Fuck, man.
But these battles take place in the Velvet Room. And as Persona fans know, the Velvet Room is a space devoid of time and space.
Oh, that's how they meet.
Right?
Because they're all in the Velvet Room.
Like, so don't take this as like they all exist within the same universe.
Yes,
like,
they do. They all exist in the same universe.
This is some Soul Calibur. We pulled the souls from the best.
They have confirmed that at least 3 and 4 exist in the same universe.
Yeah, yeah, because characters come back.
Is there any confirmation that 5 is in that world?
I have no clue. I don't remember. I don't remember seeing any older characters from the other games.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes. Well, obviously, if we take the Persona fighting games into consideration.
Oh, then yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No problem.
Yeah, okay.
And Smash Bros, obviously.
That's right. Same world.
Same world.
Oh, shit.
Smash Bros is canon in the Persona universe.
Wow. My mind has been blown wide open.
Persona 3 Pro Tag is going to shoot himself in the head and then summon Mario.
What if Smash was in the Velvet Room? Like, that's the real secret. Yeah, okay. We figured it out. Yeah, that's it.
We see through your ploy, Nintendo. So yeah, that's just cool. And they showed like a thing where you're going to be able to go through the protagonist's dungeon.
Yes.
Or like it's like a create a dungeon mode. I'm not too sure on how this works, but it has you like planting different like statues or obstacles within this dungeon. Like, I'm not sure if you can upload it or if you can take on other people's dungeons. Like, that sounds cool.
Just Etrian Odyssey, that shit.
There's some new currency called P coins. Where you can like buy different things for your dungeon and stuff like
that. P coins.
But yeah, it just looks cool.
Yeah,
it's like a 10-minute trailer. If you want to try and parse it out, go for it.
No thanks.
Another quick one: the people who made the Panzer Dragoon remake are making House of the Dead and House of the Dead 2 remakes.
Oh, shit. All right,
then. So, developer Forever Entertainment. Dude.
Yes.
Hit me with it. I want that. Okay. I want House of the Dead. I want the return of light guns.
I'm good at typing.
They're so... Oh, typing is also good.
Typing of the Dead.
Typing is also good.
I should get that installed on my computer at work. I need my AP. I need my words per minute up.
Damn.
My WPM.
And then the last ones I want to bring up are a little bit lengthier, but a little bit more politically.
Uh-oh.
Yep. So court recently in the States recently said that the FCC's, quote, unhinged, end quote, net neutrality laws have been repealed. And so actually at the forefront of this is Firefox, the browser.
Firefox?
Yeah. Mozilla Firefox.
What
the browser? Fuck? Them and a bunch of other people were in a lawsuit against the FCC because the FCC was trying to say that states cannot make their own net neutrality laws. Right? And so Ajit Pai is all like, listen, I repealed net neutrality, and states are trying to get around it by making state laws that wow. instate it.
Okay.
But recently a judge said, fuck you. And so Mozilla and Party actually won. Against the FCC.
Oh my
goodness. And this is a big win for net neutrality because shit. States are now allowed to make their own net neutrality laws.
What? States?
Yeah.
Oh man.
And you might be wondering, listener, Anthony, you live in Canada, someone who has very strict net neutrality laws, even though we have like an oligarchy in terms of telecom companies.
Yeah.
The thing is with Canada, is a lot of things that America does directly affects us,
mm-hmm.
right? And so hearing any sort of win in that like net neutrality space, which I very much care about, is newsworthy to me because it can affect our country in the future.
Yeah, sure.
It's like the same reason Americans are always like, why do you care about American politics? You're not from here. It's
doesn't
like,
matter.
It's like, bitch, you control the world right now. Like, yeah. Anything you do, like...
Everyone falls suit. Yeah.
Yeah. So it... It's just a really cool story. Check it out. There's a bunch of different news sources.
Wow, by state.
Yeah, by state. It's a cool workaround.
Interesting.
But the other one is a little dicey.
How dicey we talking?
As you know, Hong Kong.
Oof. We're going there, eh? Crossing the Pacific. Yeah. Okay.
Hong Kong is currently fighting for democracy.
As they should.
As they should. And China being a rising global superpower, not really having any of that, right? They're not fans of what Hong Kong is doing, really.
If I were in China's shoes, I'd probably be trying to step all over Hong Kong.
Yeah, you'd be too. Like, yo, fuck this island.
Yeah.
What the fuck you doing? Yeah. Like, who you think you are?
Taiwan, I see you back there.
Yeah.
You shut the fuck up.
I'm coming for you, bitch. Like, yeah. Right? We China, we number one.
Yeah, I get it, sure. Right,
that's basically what's happening. But this has gone all over the place from the NBA to video games.
Oh no, here we go.
So recently in a Hearthstone tournament,
yeah.
Blizzard, it was during the Grand Masters competition.
Yeah.
I forget where it was. But a player named I'm going to butcher this one. I'm very sorry. Chung, and it's N-G-Y,
okay.
W-A-I.
Whoa.
And, okay. Yeah. And his gamer name is Blitzchung.
Blitzchung.
Yeah. So Blitzchung, while in an interview with his, I think he won, actually, he came on to the interview in full Riot gear. Like, he came in with a gas mask, he came in with goggles, and in the interview, he screamed, basically, free Hong Kong, this is a protest for whatever. First off, the two people commentating immediately put their heads below the desk.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because they did not want to be
yeah.
in the same frame as him doing yeah. his thing. The other thing is that Blizzard followed suit.
Yeah.
Right? So Blizzard has banned him for a whole year from participating in any sort of like Hearthstone or Blizzard oriented tournaments The kicker is they also took away his prize money from winning the tournament. Man. And this has gone fucking viral over the internet. Blizzard offered an official statement being like we're taking away all his shit. We do not condone his actions, blah, blah, blah. And the internet is on fucking fire.
Oh, no.
There are people are saying that Blizzard is taking the place of EA for worst business.
Yeah. It's about time.
It's about time. They had to be dethroned at some point.
Yeah, it's come about on. Time.
But it's such an interesting story because I think Blizzard and Activision is partly owned by Tencent, I believe.
Yes, they are.
And so this is direct pressure from China.
Yep.
Just being like, hey, fuck that shit. And this is a direct influence of an American company.
Man. Oh, man. This is a tricky situation.
It's a very tricky situation.
Some sticky shit.
It's super interesting just because it's like, man, you thought video games were getting political. What if I told you politics were getting video games?
They're one in the same.
And I also think recently a couple got ejected from a preseason NBA game because they had signs that said Free Hong Kong. And I think at one point he yelled out, like, Free Hong Kong.
Mm.
Like, stuff like that. I think a very important executive in the NBA said that they support this, like, one of their broadcasters, I think,
or
one of their big voices
for the
Hong Kong protests. And he's like, no, we'll defend his right to freedom of speech. And, like, that caused a big thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, how was it? China's threatening to ban all NBA games.
Wow.
Like, it's fucking crazy. This is, like, one of those things where, like, I try to keep politics out of the podcast, but I thought I had to talk about it just because it's becoming so prevalent, even within this tiny sphere.
Yeah.
Or not tiny sphere, but maybe niche sphere
of
video games.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
It's not surprising, given the fact that how popular and how a lot of games are made in China. Or not China, but just Asia in general.
Yeah, like, even from Blizzard's point of view, the amount of income they must be rolling in from just China.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they can't upset that apple cart.
That's insane.
Yeah.
There's a lot of funny, what was the one I saw? He's like, oh, I'm having trouble finding my Steam launcher.
Yeah.
And it's a picture of his desktop. And so Steam still has the Steam logo, but Blizzard and Epic Launcher both have the Chinese flag as, like, he changed the icon.
Oh.
And stuff like that. There's a lot of great memes coming out of it.
Wow.
But it's just, it's fucking interesting.
Yeah.
Like, this is a time where it's even infiltrated Twitch chat. I was watching a streamer, XQC. He's, like, one of the biggest Twitch streamers. And all his chat was just, like, he mentioned a Blizzard game. And his whole chat is just now Free Hong Kong, all this shit.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. It'll be very interesting to see what happens at the upcoming League of Legends World Championships. But
are they in China?
I don't think they're in China, but...
Because they can't be, really.
Like, they also do have, like, big presence in China, right? Like, just like every video game.
Damn.
It's cool. It's a cool news story. I highly recommend people look it up. Mm. If you're not familiar with what's happening in Hong Kong, like, that's crazy too. Like, that's just a modern day revolution. Like, just look that shit up. It's rad.
Man, get fucked.
It's a cool thing in the world, and I wanted to talk about it.
Get absolutely wrecked.
Wow.
Okay, great.
Infiltrated video games, dog.
Absolutely. Wow. We're here. We're woke. Is that what the kids say?
I don't know. Like, I think people could go to our past podcasts and just be like,
it's been 10 years, though.
It's true. They could cancel us.
Oh, shit. Have we gone that far? Oh, God.
I think I said the N-word once or twice on this podcast. They could go back and...
Yeah, probably. Okay, cool. It's 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Speaking of N-words... I watched the Chappelle stand-up, finally.
Oh, you did?
Sticks and Stones. It's just funny.
That's hilarious.
I mean, definitely very offensive.
Oh, yeah.
Like, unbelievably offensive.
But he goes around. Like, he hits everybody.
Oh. Oh, man.
Like, that whole thing is, like, no holes barred.
Yeah, like, and you know it's like that because even the audience is questioning half the shit he says.
And a lot of the people in the audience are, like, very famous people.
Yeah, and right? they're like, oh, my God. God.
Like, yeah. That whole Michael Jackson segment. Yeah. Like, bro. I was like, bro. Come on.
And then he starts talking about how he's a Chinese man in a black man's body. Oh, my God.
And comparing that to, like, transgendered.
Yes, like, it's like... Ooh.
He goes for it.
Oh, yeah, he does the LGBT in the car.
If there's anything I've learned.
Who's the hitchhiker?
Don't upset the alphabet people. Yeah. Like, I'm like, why? You can't just say that. Like, like, he fully went, like, pure comedy. Like, yeah. He did what supposedly comedians are supposed to do, which is push the envelope, yeah, right? Yeah. You're supposed to say these unfiltered thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is like, did you find it funny?
I found it funny.
Yeah.
I was laughing. There's some parts I was like, oh, fuck.
Come on.
Like, should I be laughing at that? But for the most part, it's funny.
But, like, yeah, it's the whole thing of, like, making a terrible situation so absurd.
Yeah.
That you're like, okay, I can kind of laugh because the picture he painted is so crazy.
The Michael Jackson shit.
Did you watch the post thing after it?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, because there's two videos in that.
Yeah.
There's the actual stand-up, and then afterwards, it's like him in a club, like, talking to people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that one's really interesting.
Okay.
Because it kind of gives you, like, insight on, like, how he came up with these jokes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I recommend that. That one's much shorter, but
yeah.
I recommend it.
Yeah. But no, it was good. It was good. Definitely check it out. It's on Netflix.
There's some fucked up shit. It might not be for everybody.
Yeah, the Michael Jackson bit is pretty fucked up.
But it is definitely one of, like, the funniest stand-ups I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, in years. Like, I think that's up there.
Yeah,
with the classics. Yeah. Like, Robin Williams stand-up. Okay. Like, Eddie Murphy stand-up.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, that was funny. So, I was like, okay, I need to watch something that's just the complete opposite now.
Okay.
And so I finally got around to watching A Silent Voice.
Oh, wow. You went all the way.
Yeah. I was like, okay. One night I was like, okay, that's funny shit. And then the next night, I don't know what, I think it was like, my headspace was somewhere. I was like, fuck, man, I'm not feeling the best. I need to cry or something.
You need to cry it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I'll finally put on this movie that's been on my watch list that I've been wanting to watch for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's fucking sad.
That's fucking depressing.
There's, like, it's a really good movie. It's amazing. It's a movie that... So, it's a movie that Kyoto Animation probably didn't, like, need to make as a movie.
Yeah.
Because the way... Like, just the whole structure and the story... The movie's great.
Yeah.
Like, and it looks beautiful, but it's also unnecessary for the story
they're telling. It's unnecessarily beautiful?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For the story that they're telling, it's so unnecessarily beautiful.
But does that add to it?
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know.
Like, that movie's depressing as fuck, yeah. But then it's, like, contrasted by, like, just there's just scenes where they're on a bridge and
yeah.
Like, petals fall.
Yeah.
It's, like, this fucking gorgeous animation.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I'm looking at this beautiful picture.
Yeah.
But I'm so sad.
And I think for me, that was, like, that's my big criticism of the movie. It's just the whole, like, it's, okay, so I'm late to the party, but basically it's about depression and bullying.
Yeah.
Okay, those are the two themes here.
And consequences.
Yes. And consequences, yes. And, but even though those are the major themes, the whole vibe of the movie, because it's so beautiful and the music's so wonderful, it's very tranquil. And so there were times where I was like, I really want this to really hit me, but I never got that because I just felt like the mood was just so
really?
It was just so like.
Not even like the whole scene with the exes where they started like
peeing. No, like... no. Because I thought that was just so beautifully poetic.
Yeah.
I was like, I know I'm supposed to be like feeling more here,
yeah.
But because it's so nice and it's so one and the OST is just so great. I'm
That's interesting.
Mm. Yeah, there's like, and like, there is one part or one aspect of the movie that you kind of just have to accept for it to all work.
Which is
the main character.
Oh.
In that, like, his whole setup is kind of super, like, just straight up bullshit. Like, a part of me understands why he is like that. Mm-hmm. But the other part of me is just like, your whole setup is just this contrived mess that's designed to make me want to feel something.
It's definitely one of those scenarios where this person is what I wish someone would try to do.
Yeah.
But this person doesn't exist in real life.
Yes.
Right? Because, slight spoilers.
Yeah.
He used to be a bully.
Yeah.
And then when he left, he's trying to find redemption.
Yeah, so, like, right? It's basically the story of this kid who's a bully for... Apparently, they don't even explain. He's just a bully.
He's just an asshole kid surrounded by asshole other kids.
Yeah, and then something happens. He gets ostracized by everybody.
Yeah.
And that puts him into severe depression. Mm-hmm. And so now the whole movie is about you trying to root for the bully. And, like, on one hand, I get it. You know, like, I think everyone deserves a second chance. I think everyone deserves a shot at happiness. Mm-hmm. But because that is, like, how this movie is pitched from the get-go, there's a part of me that could never 100% accept it.
And not to be racist.
Yeah.
But also it being in Japan.
Yes, it's a little... Like,
this culture doesn't really allow for this
I thought that. I thought that was really weird. Like, all the kids are, like... such assholes.
Yeah.
And all the, like, the parental supervision just ignores it.
Well, that's the thing. That's apparent. So I asked my Japanese teacher about this. And apparently that's very Japan, right? Like, bullying in Japan is fucking brutal.
Wow.
Right? Like, it's very,
wow, really?
It's very indirect.
Okay, but these kids were not indirect.
These kids were not indirect, right? But the thing is like, the outcome is the same. It is a fucking savage... the bullying that happens over there, how, like, it fucks with people.
When they rip out the girl's hearing aids, I was just like,
yeah,
what the fuck?
Yeah. They're so mean.
Yeah.
They're so mean.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? And then, slight spoilers, they do it again when they're older.
Yeah.
Like, when they're in high school. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's completely brutal.
Yeah.
And so I guess that, like, that's a good visual impact.
Yeah.
But my teacher has said, like, there are certain schools where teachers will just ignore that shit because they don't want to get involved. And
so sad.
They will look past all this. Like, they will look past brutal, brutal bullying.
That's so sad. That's so sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a good movie.
I cried in public in that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't. Like, there are points where I knew I wanted to cry. I was like, just do it. Make me cry. Yeah. But I could never get there.
Because you're too cool.
No, I was just like this movie just, I think it hung on to moments a little too long, mm-hmm. and like where the build up happened, but then they kind of slowed the pacing down. Mm-hmm. So by the time, the tears just never came.
I think the one part that jumped the shark for me was during the fireworks festival.
Oh yeah.
Like the whole near the end.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
I think that part was a little bit like, okay, listen. I've been sad this whole movie. Yeah. You're just trying to go for it now.
Yeah.
Like that. I think that was the only part where
it
was a little bit too far.
Yeah.
But
I think my favorite character was, or the one that I don't want to say I could relate to the most, but the one that felt the most real to me was, what's her name? Now?
She the photographer?
No, black hair.
Oh.
Who
is she again?
She's the one that works at the cat place.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's like, where she has one line where she's like, listen, I don't like you. And I never will. And like, that's her whole MO. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck. I remember being that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just straight up, like, you did these things.
Yeah.
And I fucking hate you.
Yeah. And I do like also, like, they, what do they talk about? They talk about, like, the other side of the story when you have to befriend someone with some sort of handicap where they're like, we're always trying to be considered to you, but because you're the one with the handicap. But as the handicapped person, please be considered to us as well.
Like, yeah, like,
you know, like,
know that we're doing this.
Yeah, and like, you know, and I don't feel like that story never get or that side of the story ever gets told.
Especially, I work in a. I'm not gonna say specifically where I work.
Yeah,
but I work in a place where.
Where those kind of situations
those occur. Kind of situations can arise.
Yeah,
and there was I'm gonna tell you a specific story.
Yeah,
so I was in a situation where. I was in front of a door, but I was carrying a bunch of boxes.
Yeah.
And so I asked this person to hold the door for me, but that person's in a wheelchair.
Oh, God.
Right? And so I just asked, like, hey, can you grab that? Because she can do it.
Yeah.
Like, she's fully capable.
Yeah.
But when I did it, eventually someone pulled me aside and was like, hey, you can't ask them that. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Right? Like, they were fully capable of doing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, just because they're handicapped doesn't mean
they're
that way, right? Yeah. And it's really that's really interesting to see, like, like you said, that other side of the story never gets really
told. It never gets told in fiction. Taboo. Yeah, yeah. So I really like that, and that's why I like that one character. So her whole MO was like, you weren't considerate of us regarding your condition. Like, you expected us to always conform to you.
Yeah.
And like, but if you're gonna also hang out with us, level playing field.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, sometimes we gotta do things.
Yeah.
Like,
and I super respected that, and I was just like, okay. Yeah.
And it's also told by that one girl who's kind of a cunt.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she's. Absolutely, like, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
So she was my favorite part of the movie. I think maybe that's why I didn't cry. I was just like, okay.
You're just relating?
Yeah.
I was just like, finally, someone's speaking the truth.
That's probably what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, all right. Let's do this. Fuck.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you watched that. I think that's a good movie. That's a very good movie.
It's a good movie. And then I watched one more movie.
Movie. The only way you could impress me more is if you were like, I finished Devilman Crybaby.
No. I finally watched something I wanted to see earlier this year called Booksmart.
Which one was this? Oh, is this Superbad but with girls?
Yeah, okay. And I hate to reduce it to that, but it's literally Superbad with girls.
Okay, it's like that new movie is Superbad with kids.
Yeah, only this movie is so much more because it's about representation.
Interesting.
As in, every demographic gets represented in this movie.
The trailer definitely does not show that.
No, but like, you want, like, think of a demographic, it's in this movie.
Wow.
Like, they definitely go there. Like, they have very androgynous looking characters, okay, and you question what their sexuality is, and then they still flip it on you. Yeah, you'll be like, whoa.
Cool.
Yeah, or their races or whatnot.
Yeah. Oh, they just like bring out some racially ambiguous dude.
Yes. Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
You'd be like, okay.
That's a very interesting twist. Like, that's something I wish they kind of put in the trailer.
Yeah.
I think that would have made me want to see the movie more.
They definitely put in, like, the super rich kids.
Okay.
Super poor kids.
All right.
How each one has their own problems. I will tell you that this movie is so super bad. I didn't know this, but the one of the main characters, the girls, like, it's sort of two girls, right?
Yeah.
One of them
was in Superbad.
No, the bigger of the two of them is Jonah Hill's real life sister.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And she plays exactly Jonah Hill's character from Superbad.
Okay.
As in, like,
the bigger guy trying to be cool.
Yes. Who's desperately trying to be cool while the Muckle stereotype's like, listen, we got this. We can go now.
Just worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly cool. The dynamic. But anyways, the whole premise behind the movie is there's two girls. They're absolute dorks.
Yeah.
And they have made it through high school being dorks with the idea that we got into the best schools. Like, we got our futures set. We're going to Yale. We're done.
Crushing it.
These other kids, who fucking cares about them? You know, like...
Yeah, fuck these nerds.
Fuck these jocks, these hoes, these stoners, whatever. They peaked here in high school. But as they talk to them, they're like, yo, shut your fucking mouth, Yale. I'm going to Harvard. Like the cool kids, and they're like, what? They're like, yeah, we smoke, but we also are good at school.
Yeah, we also study.
It's like, and they're like, the difference between you and us is that while you only cared about school, we also cared about other things. We cared about school and other things. And it's the whole realization that they're like, fuck, we could have had it all, but we banked it all on.
Yeah, because of like bad experiences in the past.
Of just what they were told, that like,
fuck, that's so relatable.
Yeah. And so like, what you see is like, all these cool kids also get to go to all these great futures, and suddenly the kids who just threw all their eggs into education or academics and ignored fun, and it's these two girls, they're just like, well, we got one night left, we gotta go find this party. And again, it's super bad. It's like, we got to get to this party.
Right? Wow.
And they go on an entire journey throughout the night. They go to another party.
Okay.
You know, they go to here, they go to there, till they get to the party. Mm-hmm. And then they're at the party, and then they meet the people that they want to, like, hit on, hook up on with, whatever. It's the classic best friends get into a fight scenario.
Okay.
Right? Because that's what best friends do eventually.
Well, you got to have drama.
Yeah. And then they reconcile at the end for reasons.
Yo, come on. Are you telling me that two people come together after like thinking that they're not good for each other, but then they're like, no, but really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But
so original.
Mm. It's definitely a coming of age movie. Like, there's nothing here that you'll be like, oh, that's brand new. Like, in terms of its concept, but it's so entertaining, and it's so 2019.
Cool.
Like, it is 100% 2019.
Like, the whole thing where you mentioned, like, at the beginning of just, like, representing the demographics, yeah. I'm like, that sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah. Like, it's really cool. Like, they've got how they represent it. Everybody's pretty cool. Like, the classic stereotypes of like, what you think a jock or, like a cheerleader or a dork is supposed to look like. They've definitely mixed it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they were all just standing in a line and you were pick him out and put him in like a
stereotype.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, I don't know, actually.
This person's probably this, but yeah. It's like JK, LOL. This nerd is actually
this.
Yeah, yeah, karate champion.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
yeah, sure. Why not?
Nice.
It definitely does have its Superbad moments where, like, in Superbad, they had the two cops who were just completely unrealistic.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Those characters do exist in this movie, okay. And you're like. And they only make it better, right? Because, yeah. Like, fuck. But it's good. Some good shit. I really enjoyed it.
Do they serve the same purpose where, like, they're a catalyst to get the main characters out of, like, unescapable situations?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Although they do kind of twist it, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good.
Oh. I want to see that now.
Booksmart's very good. I definitely recommend it. Carrie Fisher's daughter is in it. Carrie Fisher's daughter. Billie Lourd.
Oh, okay.
She is... magical.
Nice.
She is this amazing performance that okay. You're just like,
is she one of the mains?
She's one of the friends.
Okay.
You'll know her. She's one of the rich girls. Oh, she's okay. She's wonderful.
Nice.
Yeah, I really liked it. And that was my week.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I pulled a U and was being social a lot. Oh,
good for you.
It's okay. It was pretty fun.
Yeah. Had
some okay times. But what I did manage to do is still play a lot of Monster Hunter.
Oh yeah, it's right here. Yeah.
So I what did I do? I deleted some other games off my computer.
Path
is still on there, but because mapping is so slow, I'm kind of free.
Okay.
Right. So Path is something that, like, if I want to save money, I'm gonna just get deep into Path.
Okay.
But so I started playing more Monster Hunter. I think I'm master rank like 80 something now.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Monster Hunter.
And I have fully transitioned
into
heavy bowgun.
Oh, you have that Zenogre gun.
So I completed every single optional quest.
Fair enough.
At least enough to get, you know, like when you complete it to get the rainbow thing, you can talk to everybody in the town because they all have exclamation marks congratulating you. That's where I got to.
What do you get for completing all the...
What is it?
You don't get a rainbow tint again.
No, I think you get a special pendant.
Oh, for your weapon?
Yeah, for your weapon.
Okay.
And with that, I was like, okay, well, I completed all of these. All the other ones are tied to the Guiding Lands. So I went deep into the Guiding Lands. And that whole scenario is super fun. Just going in, so like you can level up yours by mooching off of others too. So if at the beginning my whole thing it was just level ones across the board.
Yeah.
But if I went to join somebody else's, I could join their like level five, right? Like, oh, they have a level five forest.
Fair enough. Which, I like the way that sounds. Right? That's how you mooch.
Exactly. And with that come some very interesting monsters that you fight.
Ooh.
So one was Zenogre.
Okay.
I captured a Zenogre, was able to farm it a bunch. I made the Zenogre bowgun. I made a bonkers mix set. And the Zenogre heavy bowgun is all about spread level 3. It is strictly spread shot. Just get in their face, shotgun blast.
We're talking like rapid fire? We're talking like...
I'm not talking like dun-dun-dun, like auto shotgun.
Yeah.
But think of it like it's a pump shotgun. Like boom-sh, boom-sh, boom-sh. Okay, like it's still kind of fast.
Yeah.
But like this thing is a crit machine.
Oh, yeah?
So I have critical eye max. I have weakness exploit max.
Wow.
I got part breaker. Wow. Right? I got all this stuff to where if I... the mounting move is the one where it damages a part instead of dropping a slinger ammo.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Oh, because you just shoot into him?
Because you just shoot into him.
Okay, yeah.
There is a. When I get onto a weak point, every shot is a crit.
Yeah.
And when I'm hitting a damaged weak point, I want to say every bullet is 30 damage combined, where every shot is like 7 bullets.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So good. I'm doing mad fucking damage.
That sounds good. Sounds
it's nice. Really good. Nice. And then that bowgun's special ammo or the power up move is the Gatling gun.
Oh.
So if you put a mod on it where it's a Wyvern Heart plus.
Yeah.
Basically, the longer you shoot in one area, the more damage it does.
Okay.
So I'm unloading into a downed monster's face, and it's hitting for like 70 a bullet.
Oh, sick.
And you're just a DPS monster. Mm. It's awesome. And with the heavy bowgun comes a bunch of different modifications. Like I said, I put the Wavering Heart plus, but I've also put like 2 shield mods on it.
Mm-hmm.
So since I put 2 shield mods, I also put on the charm that gives me like plus 5 guard.
Yeah.
And I'm guarding with a heavy bowgun like I'm a lance.
So what you're telling me is you're literally a tank.
I'm a tank unless... So the guard doesn't work if you're not facing the attack.
Oh.
Or if you're reloading or shooting. The only time it works is if you're kind of set.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
You're in the zone.
Okay, in the zone.
Yeah.
The one thing I did realize, though, is that there's a new skill called Offensive Guard.
Yeah.
Where if on a lance or something else, if you do like a counter or a guard point, you get a bonus amount, I think percentage, just flat damage.
Yeah, yeah. It's reduced, yeah.
Yeah, and you just go for it for a certain amount of time. But on the heavy bowgun, there's not really a counter, right? So how this works is that sometimes it just triggers.
It's just random?
Yeah. So I'll block an attack,
yeah,
and it'll be like, you activated Offensive Guard.
Yeah.
And I have a plus 20 attack power, 20% attack power now.
Oh, okay.
And so now all my bullets are doing like 40 a hit.
Yeah. Well, that's fun.
It's crazy. Like, it's so efficient to where I'm just like, I'm just going to drop everything else.
No.
The only time I play another weapon is when everyone else is just carding like crazy, and I'll switch over to Hunting Horn.
Okay.
Right? And I'll go pure support.
Yeah.
But even though that this weapon is fucking bonkers, there are still some very tough enemies. I've been trying to farm Lunestra.
No go, eh?
Master rank Lunestra is no fucking joke.
Okay.
Remember how Arc Tempered was hard?
Yeah.
It's
like that again?
It's like that again.
Shit. That's not fun.
I unlocked Yon Garuga.
Okay.
He's annoying.
He always has been.
Yeah. He's got a scar. He's got an alternate version, which is Scarred Yon Garuga. And he can just rapid fire fireballs out of his mouth.
Oh.
Like, imagine it's like a grenade launcher.
Oh.
But it's like a machine gun.
Oh, that's not fun.
It's like, go, 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 go. And he just, like, kind of vomits out fire.
Like a Dodo Dogma?
Faster.
Okay.
And longer.
Okay.
Like, it's like he bombards you with the basil geese.
Oh.
Thing, but it comes out of his mouth. It's like, boo, 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 boo. So that's annoying, and he's hard as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But he unlocks at like level master rank 80.
Yeah.
And then there, apparently I learned that the final form of Nergigante unlocks at master rank 100. So they took into consideration that people would be playing this game for hours and hours and hours.
What's the Nergigante's final? Ruined?
Ruiner. Nergigante.
Yeah, okay.
And then also, like, even beyond that, there's like bonus tempered assignments that you unlock at like master rank 150. Like, Jesus, I've seen Christ. I've seen some very fucked quests that I cannot join through an SOS.
Oh, wow.
Like, they put in late game content like crazy.
Yeah.
It's good.
Have you been playing with TJ?
I have not. I haven't seen him online when I'm
did you know he switched weapons?
What is he now?
He switch X.
Oh no. Yeah. Wait, we're all switching.
Yeah, he went to Switch X because he's like, Vince, did you know that Switch X has auto part breaker? I'm like, yeah. He's like, holy fuck, it works!
So good!
Yeah.
Switch X is the one where it has the chainsaw mod, right?
No, that's Charge Blade.
That's Charge Blade, okay. Yeah. What does Switch X have now?
Switch X has the axe mode, like it has a finisher, and when you activate it, all your axe moves have part breaker.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So if you just do the wailing, mm-hmm, you just auto part break now.
That's sick.
Yeah.
That's sick. Because he was using Gunlance for a while.
Yeah, he's like, listen, it's just too cheap.
Oh, let me tell you about bowguns.
Yeah.
So, I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter. It's super fucking good.
Yeah.
Also, Destiny. Well, that went free to play. Went free to play. I set up my account for CrossSave.
And then?
And then I loaded up the game on PC.
And then?
Was so overwhelmed with options that I shut it off.
That's about right. Yeah, okay.
I loaded in, and it loaded me into the tower.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even at the tower where I was in story mode.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all I see is planet unlocked, planet unlocked, planet unlocked, planet unlocked.
Yeah.
And I show up to the Eververse, and we're giving you free this currency, but not this currency. And I was like, okay, I can't. This is too much.
Yeah.
I unlocked some sort of premium ship.
Yep. Yeah.
I couldn't.
That's the problem with those kind of games. When they go free to play, and they're like, to get everyone on the same page, we just got to give you everything.
Yeah.
And then you're like, but, okay.
I'm light level 750 now,
buddy. Yeah, but who cares?
I don't know what any of this shit does.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's weird, though, because some of my items are light level 750, but other items are light level 0.
Huh. Weird.
And I don't know why. Like, my rocket launcher I unlocked, like, that shit is light level 0 for some reason.
Huh. Maybe it's not in the meta.
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, all my friends are playing Destiny. I tried to get in there, and I was just like...
Not happening.
This is too much.
Okay.
So maybe at some point I'll check that out. But
yeah.
So yeah, it's been Monster Hunter. I tried to get back into Astral Chain.
Okay.
But I think that game is just, it's not meant to be played to go.
Okay.
Like, that game is meant to be played on TV.
On a telly?
I think that's it in terms of games.
Okay.
I don't think I saw any movies.
No.
I started watching Chef's Table again.
Ooh.
I forgot most of it, so I started back at season one. That Italian guy.
He's something else, right?
Massimo?
Yeah.
Yo, he saved a village with Parmesan.
Some people.
They're
just too good for this
world. How Italian can you be?
I know, right?
My village. It's a going down the economic drain. So we must sell the Parmesan.
I'm also number 3 in the world.
I'm also number 3 in the world. What a baller.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So that's been good. Just to like cut through the monotonous acts of like data entry at work. I've just been trying to watch some Netflix stuff.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
The magic of two monitors.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Nice. If only I had 3.
I gave away my 3rd monitor.
Oh, really? It's too much?
It's too much.
You had too much power?
I had too
much. I cannot handle.
If you count my laptop, it would have been 4, and I was like, No, you know what the real problem was?
What?
I just had no room on my desk to work.
That's why you need those monitor arms, dog.
I know. But I'm only in this office for temporary.
You should have got those monitor. But you could take the monitor arms to go.
No, I got to wait till I get my permanent office.
Okay, okay.
In April. Blech.
Blech, so far. So, yeah. I kind of just, as a personal note.
Yeah.
I'm attempting to work out again.
Okay.
And that shit sucks.
Well.
I ran for the first time in years. My legs hurt. I did a bunch of arm, like, free... I fucking hate weights. I would rather do cardio than weights. And I did free weights at the gym.
What was that like?
I hated every minute of it, and then I lost use of my arms for all weekend.
I don't think I've done weights in forever. Yeah, no.
Yeah. I just... I don't know. Just, like... I think it's a lot of it is, like, hearing other people do it. So, like, you're on Project Shredded right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm definitely not going that far.
Well, you should.
Yeah. You're on Project. I'm going to get 8 abs.
You haven't seen TJ recently, huh?
Is he shredded?
TJ's lost, like, 20 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What happened over there?
He was like, he's like, Vince, I don't think I've been eating enough. I'm like, what happened? He's like, I was, like, at 170. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'm at 150.
Oh my God.
What? It's like, I don't think I'm eating enough. I'm like, okay, well.
Well, like, just.
In general, he's in just general. Not eating
oh.
enough.
Oh, so it's not that he's, like, purposefully losing it.
Yeah.
It's just that he's
getting. He's been so conservative with, like, his money and, like, his eating that he's just like, I don't think I'm eating enough.
Yo, skinny legend over here.
Yeah, I'm like, I wish I had your problem, asshole.
Must be nice. Vince, I'm, like, down to a healthy weight. Fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely like seeing other people around me do it.
Yeah.
And like hearing you do it and getting positive results, I'm like, I should fucking do something.
Yeah.
It's like really one of those things where I look at it and I'm like, wow, like it's not everything, but who you surround yourself with really helps.
Yeah, like if you are in an environment where that is the norm,
yeah,
at some point you will want to,
like, what's this all about? What's all the hullabaloo?
Like, you will get curious enough to where it's like, okay.
And that's the thing, like, where I finished running that day.
Yeah.
Like, I only ran for like 30 minutes, and even then it was like interval, right? Yeah. So I'd walk and then run. Yeah. I felt good after.
Wow.
Right? Like, I felt light. I felt like not so sluggish.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right? Definitely that's definitely what I try to avoid, because every time I feel sluggish, it's like I know what I've been wasting
away. And it's definitely one of those things where I'm like, ah, fuck. I can see myself enjoying this once I get past, like, once my body has gotten past the point of shock.
And pain. Yeah, like make no mistake to everybody who's listening out there, like, when you want to, say, exercise or get yourself into better shape, you are not going to like it at the start.
No, it sucks dick.
And I think you probably won't like it for, like, the first month and a half, until you're able to either get your body acclimatized to it, or like just get your head just mentally wrapped around the idea of it.
Like, and that was definitely the thing, like, years and years and years ago, I think when we're doing this podcast, when I was in college, there was a part in time where I was going to gym like every day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I could do like 15 pull-ups. Like, this is the best shape I've ever been in.
Yeah.
And I know, like, I think that it helps that I know that if I get over this wall,
yeah,
it can be enjoyable.
Yeah, for sure. Right. It also helps, like, if you have a goal in mind, right? Like, or if you're something you're aiming for. Like, that's half the reason why I cycle so much, because I would sign up for things. Or, like, even this past, did I talk about it? I went for, like, a 5K run or something.
I don't know if you, I know you talked about it to me. I don't know if you talked about it on the show.
Yeah, so, like, I went for a 5K run, I think, like, 2 weeks ago. And, I placed 10th. So I was like, oh, it's cool. Working, right? Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, that's really good. Yeah, so...
It was out of 10, but still, like...
But I placed!
I placed, top, man. 10! I finished it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so... Yeah.
No, just, like, going through it again, and it's like, oh, fuck, like... It's different now, because I know the mindset I'm in, which is just like, fuck starting. Mm-hmm. Starting fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, a part of it for me as well is, like, the single life aspect, where it's like...
Oh, you definitely have time.
I have time, but also, like, if I'm gonna look for somebody, like, you want to be at that best, or like, you, and like at the same time, if I want to find someone, I want to at least find someone who's able. Like, I can't put this kind of, like, judgment on someone else unless I'm also. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, because, like, as much as the big thing nowadays is like, hey, be confident in yourself.
Yeah.
Do it for you.
Yeah.
I think it completely ignores how much attracting, like, if I want to just break it down into, like, real.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, pretentious shit.
Yeah.
Like, attracting somebody else is a fantastic fucking motivator.
Yeah. Like, no, it is, like, number uno.
It's crazy.
Numero uno. And, like, the ironic thing is, like, when you do attract someone else, it's, like, actually, at least in my case, it's always, like, the people I attract or the people that I want to attract give zero fucks about that.
But they say it, they say that, like, outwardly,
right? Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, but, like, I know for a fact, like...
Like, for sorry, like, continue.
I just mean, like... In my mind, I have a goal I want to get to, and they're like, it, but in their mind, it's like, you're already past that, like, for their standards.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, okay, but I'm not going to stop.
Yeah, but also, I want to keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
There's definitely, sorry, can you go back to, what were you?
The laws of attraction.
Laws of attraction and stuff like that. Yeah, like, for as much as people say, like, hey, I'm doing, like, do it for yourself, do it for you, don't worry about other people. Like, it's a fucking motivator.
Absolutely. Right?
And for you to say, like, the people who you attract, like, don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's like...
Okay, maybe they don't give a shit, but it's not the degree that I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, like, a lot of people, like, you just gotta be you.
Yeah.
Right? But sometimes, like, as depressing as it sounds, like, if I look in the mirror and I'm like...
It's like, I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough. Yeah. Like, just straight up. Like, sometimes you gotta, like, look in the mirror and just be like... Would I want to date me?
Yeah. And yeah. The answer is always no.
Yeah. right? And it depending, like, it can get dangerous. Obviously, yeah. There's people who have body dysmorphia and shit like that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like, there's definitely potholes in your plan.
Yeah.
Right? But if you feel that you have a healthy mind and you can look at yourself in the mirror and be like, would I want to date me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a hard question to ask, but it's, like, important.
Yeah, or you could always boil it down to something simple. Like, what are the small things I can improve on? Or, like, what realistic changes can I make to make me better?
Yeah. Like, I think that it was the combination of hearing you guys do it, working, literally, I walk out the door and I'm looking at a gym.
Yeah.
And then also just, like, I think one day I did look in the mirror and I was like, I'm not unhappy with my body. Like, I think I'm fine, but I'm definitely like, I could improve.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I could get a little bit skinnier. Mm-hmm. I could get a little less skinny fat.
Mm-hmm.
I can make these pants less tight.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
And it's nothing like unhealthy where I'm like, I'm just a fucking sack of shit. Eh. Like, it's nothing like that. But yeah, just looking at yourself and also just attracting a mate, like I said.
Absolutely.
That's a fantastic motivator.
It is.
Like,
it is.
I don't.
It is.
Sometimes I wonder if girls understand how much power they have to just immediately fuck with somebody. I think certain ones definitely do.
Yeah, certain ones definitely do. Other ones, it's tough to say. Because some girls just, like, they have all the power. But they also have the amazing ability to be completely oblivious to the power.
Yeah.
And that's always the worst combination. When they have all the power, but they're oblivious to their power.
Oh, yeah. And then they just do shit, and you're like...
And that's my curse, Anthony. Those are always the girls that I
love. Oh, really?
For. Yes. That is my curse.
Huh.
That is my curse.
That's interesting. So would you say recently you've been attracting more girls that are just completely oblivious? Or that you're going for that type of girl?
Yes.
Interesting.
And, like, it's not just me who understands, because there'll be other girls who be like, they'll be like, Vince, I think she's leading you on, but she has no idea.
Like, she's like doing it by accident.
Yeah, I'm like, huh, you're probably right, but I'm head over heels and I cannot stop.
My thing is, I'm definitely lately, I'm attracted to and been attracting people who are way out of my league in education.
Mm.
Where it's like,
that's a different type of working out though,
right? Like, and so that's the thing. Like, I'm, I think I'm smart. Yes. I think I am probably average intelligence. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I'm a genius.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta compensate somewhere else. Like, I definitely gotta, like, if I'm attracting these type of people, like, my whole thing is, like, I gotta bring something else to the table.
Yeah.
Because I'm not gonna beat out the girl who is getting a PhD in nanotechnology.
Oh, no.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, definitely not in a million years. So I gotta bring something else
to
the table.
Good fucking luck.
I gotta bring something else to that table.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Isn't it? Very crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. God.
Societal standards are weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't know, like, I guess that's a conversation. That's a deeper conversation.
Yes.
But just like the whole thing of, like, genders breaking down barriers and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, but also, like, each gender not really realizing what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get canceled for this. I don't want to keep
probably.
Yeah, someone's gonna be like, fuck this guy and his patriarchal ass.
Well, that's like, it sounds like a good place to end.
Yeah, I think before we get deeper, I think if we had some drinks, we would have went there, but
yeah. But just to loop it around, go exercise, be fit. I went to a bike show. I bought a mountain bike. That is another one for the collection. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, I'm going to cut down on my toy collection, but also bikes, though.
I could use another one.